The Gemara says, any daughter-in-law who is modest in her father-in-law's house is zeichet to have kings and neviim. We learn this from Tamar, who eventually, in her mishpacha, had David. Before the different Amoraim used to begin the Megillah, they would say special drushes. For example, Esther was like a hadas, but Vashti was the granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar. The everlasting symbol of all this is Purim. The Gemara says Hashem does not rejoice when Rishayim are defeated. For example, when the Mitzrayim drowned in the Yamsuf, Hashem told the Malachim not to sing since his creatures were dying. Daf Yud Aleph. Rabbi Elazar darshans a pasuk regarding if a person is lazy and doesn't take care of his house, he'll become poor and his house will leak. So too, when Klal Yisrael became lazy in Torah, Hashem loses his kayach, he becomes poor, so to say, kaviyachol, and he doesn't help Klal Yisrael. It was only because of the Yad Hashem that Klal Yisrael wasn't destroyed by Haman. This was the schus of Mordechai the Esther. And at the time of Mashiach, no one will be able to have shlita over Klal Yisrael. Achashverosh was very similar to Nebuchadnezzar in that he wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael. And he was called Achashverosh in his name because he was the Ach Shel Reish, and he was the head. Just like Achashverosh ruled from Haidu to Kush, he ruled over the world from one end to the other. The pasuk that says Sheva v'esrim u'mea medina means that first he ruled over 7 countries, then he ruled over 20 countries, and ultimately over 100 countries. The Gemara says there were 3 kings that ruled over the entire world. Number 1, Achav, number 2, Achashverosh, and number 3, Nebuchadnezzar. Shlomo HaMelech had even a bigger mila, in that he ruled even over the Shadim. Besides the Tachtonim, he also ruled over the Shadim. And finally, the Gemara says Balshatzer made a mistake in his calculation when the 70-year Golus between the two Beis HaMikdashin would end. According to his Cheshbon, it should have been over in the middle of Achashverosh's reign. After Balshatzer was killed, Daryavesh assumed the Malchus of Bavel. Daf Yud Beis. Hashem complained about Koresh, the king of Paras, who didn't make an active attempt to build the Beis HaMikdash. There's a machlekes between Rav and Shmuel if Achashverosh was a smart king or a stupid king. And the Gemara asks, why was Bnei Yisrael in that generation worthy of destruction? The Gemara answers, since they partook in the Seuda of Arusha, of Achashverosh. Others say, since the previous generation bowed down to the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. Different levels of people celebrated the party in different places. Some celebrated it in the garden, and some celebrated it in the palace, but everyone got stones and precious metals. Mordechai and Haman dispensed the drinks at the Seuda, and everyone got what they wanted, as it says, Lasos Kirtzon Ish Vo Ish. Vashti made her Suda in the big palace instead of in the woman's court, since she wanted to create an environment for Znus. The people were interested in seeing Vashti without her clothing. This was Mida Keneged Mida, since she brought Benos Yisrael to her without clothing, so that they should work on Shabbos and be Mechal Shabbos, so that the decree against her happened on Shabbos. And she did not want to come out to the party because she was a leper with a tail. Gavriel put a tail on her. So Achashverosh killed her for refusing to come out and show herself off. Jews begin Seudas with Divrei Torah and Sishbachais, but Goyim begin Seudas with Tiflus. Rav Kahana says we see from Haman that the simple people are always the ones to jump up and talk first, since he was the least chashev of all the officers, but he ended up speaking first. When the Megillah says, Liyais kol ish, seirer v'beisai, that means that Achashverosh sent out a letter that all men should be the leader of his individual house. Mordechai was from Shevet Binyamin, and he was sometimes called Yair, sometimes Shimi, or sometimes Kish, since he illuminated Klal Yisrael with his tefillas to Hashem. Dr. Gimel. The term Yehudi is reserved for someone very chashev, like Mordechai. It's also used for a person who rejects Avodah Zarah. Mordechai's father came from Binyamin, and his mother came from Yehuda. The Gemara says anyone who raises an orphan in their house, the Torah considers it like this person gave birth to the Yassim themselves. Maisha had many names. For example, one of his names was Chaver, since he caused Klal Yisrael to cling to Hashem. One of his names was Zaneach, because he caused Tshuva. And he was also called Avi, since he was our father in Torah, Chochmah, and Nevuah. Esther's real name was Esther. Since we refer to Tzadikim as Hadas, as a myrtle, we also sometimes call her Hadassah, after the same type of Hadas. Esther wasn't too tall or too short, but an average height like a Hadas, but she gave off a beautiful ray of light. Since she had no parents, Mordechai took her as a daughter. The Gemara says Ahasuerus did many things to try to get Esther to divulge her heritage, but she did not divulge it. He even tried to make her jealous of other women, but she still didn't divulge her heritage. Because Rachel was a tznua, she was zeicha to have Shaul as a descendant. And since Shaul was modest, he was zeicha to have Esther as a descendant. Yaakov was afraid Laban would play tricks with him. So when he married Rachel, he gave her secret codes to be used before marital relations. But Rachel gave the codes to Leah. And in the morning, one time, Yaakov realized that he was with Leah and not with Rachel. Bigson and Seresh spoke a foreign language and plotted to kill Ahasuerus. Mordechai understood their secrets since he understood 70 languages. And of course, as we know, he reported their plot to Ahasuerus. This later played an important role in the Megillah. Hashem does not inflict punishment on Klal Yisrael until he has planned the cure also. But by Goyim, first he smites them, and then he creates a healing mechanism after he smites them. Of course, the other way around by Klal Yisrael, as we mentioned. The Gemara says first Haman wanted to kill Mordechai, then he wanted to kill the Zakenim, then all of Klal Yisrael. He picked a lot, which landed on Adar. That would be the month that he would kill all of Klal Yisrael. He was very excited about that, since that was the month that Moshe Rabbeinu died. As we know, he died on Zion Adar. So he thought that that would be even a bigger thing of excitement, because the Jews wouldn't have luck during the month of Adar. Of course, he didn't realize that a skula also existed in Adar, since Moshe Rabbeinu not only died in Adar, but he was also born on Zion Adar as well. The Gemara says Haman was a tremendous Baal Lashon Hara, a tremendous slanderer. He said, what good is Klal Yisrael? They don't eat our food or marry our children. They also have excuses always for not coming to work. They say Shabbos Hayom, Pesach Hayom. Interesting coincidence that this year, this particular da fell on Erev Shabbos, Pesach. Also, many of the Sfardim have a terminology where they say Se Peh. What this means is that I don't really have time to do it. And this is, of course, based after this Gemara, Shabbos Hayom, Pesach Hayom. Because of this, he claimed to Ahasuerus, because of these reasons, that we should destroy Klal Yisrael, since they have no respect for you, Ahasuerus. And of course, Ahasuerus gave him Rishus to destroy Klal Yisrael, and he removed his ring as a symbol of this decree. Daf Yudalet. The removal of a ring by a king, as a gzera, was more powerful for Klal Yisrael to do tshuva than the Divrei Musar of the 48 Nevi'im and 7 Nevi'is. These Nevi'im never added on to the Torah, except in regard to Megillas Esther, that this was specifically added by the Nevi'im. This was the only thing that was added by the Nevi'im. The Sfasemes asks, what about the Karasa B'Shavas Einig, or the four special Taniyais? These were also created by the Nevi'im. So why do we say that this was the only thing, Megillas Esther was the only thing created by the Nevi'im? So he answers, these, however, do have a Doraisa foundation. Shabbos itself is min haTorah, and we blow chatzaitzrus in an eis tzara. So these are simply, the Tanaisim are simply an extension of that. And the Gemara asks, why don't we say halil on Purim? So Rabbi Yitzchak answers, since we don't say halil on a miracle that happened outside of Eretz Yisrael. So then Shira, which was said in Mitzrayim, why do we recite halil on Pesach? Shiru was said outside of Eretz Yisrael. The Turei Evan says that this must be discussing the halal of the Seder, since the halal on Pesach, during Shacharis, we don't say because of the Nes of Yitzias Mitzrayim, but rather since it's Yontif. So the Gemara answers, before Klal Yisrael went into Eretz Yisrael, anyone could say halal on any Nes. Later on, this Eretz Yisrael rule came into effect. Rav Nachman answers that the reason we don't say halal on Purim is because Kriyasa Zu Halila. The saying of the Megillah is the halal, so you don't need halal itself. The Meiri points out that if someone is in a place without a Megillah, he should say Halal instead. We don't paskin like this. Rava gives a third teretz, and he says, since even after the Neis, we were still servants to Ahasuerus, so it wasn't 100% freedom worthy of Halal. Of course, the question is, why then do we say Halal on Chanukah, based on all these terutzim? We could answer that Purim, we're dealing with something which is a physical miracle that ended up happening, that's not worthy of saying halal. Mashen Kein Chanukah, where the nes that happened was spiritual, that's a time to say halal. Regarding halal, the Chassam Sefer and Simen Reish Lamed Gimel hold that whenever we say halal on a nes, it is a halal d'oraisa. The Rambam holds halal is midivrei sefer. There were 600,000 people who left Mitzrayim, but there were twice as many Nevi'im who've existed in Klal Yisrael. The Gemara says that the seven Nevi'is, women prophets, were Sarah, Miriam, Dvorah, Chana, Abigail, Chulda, and Esther. Psukim are brought to prove each one of these. And the Gemara asks, why did Dvorah sit under a palm tree? So we say, number one, to avoid Yichud, and number two, to show Klal Yisrael that they need to turn their hearts exclusively to Avinu Shabashamayim. A person's Masi Yadayim lasts longer than the person himself. Hashem is just the opposite, that he lasts longer himself. Yeshayahu sent a Sefer Torah to Chulda instead of Yirmiyahu, because he believed women have more rachmanis than men. Yirmiyahu helped to bring back the Ten Shvatim. In regard to the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Kufyud, we know that the Ten Shvatim will not return back to Eretz Yisrael. Here pshat is that Yirmiyahu brought a trickle of them back, but the bulk of them remained in Golos and will stay there even at La'asid Lavai. Reb Nachman says it's not good for women to have high positions of prestige, since we see that two Nevi'is, two women who were Nevi'im, who were women, and they stumbled, they fell. This was Chulda and Devarah. And finally we say there were eight Nevi'im who were also Kohanim, Daf Tesvav. If a Navi is mentioned with his father's name, it means that he is a Navi ben Navi. The four most beautiful women in the world were Sarah, Rachav, Abigail, and Esther. Michal Bas Shaul was also beautiful, and just thinking about her could lead to znus. And anyone who knew Rachav and thought about her would see Carrie just from the thoughts of her. The edict to destroy Klal Yisrael came down on Yud Gimel Nisan, and Klal Yisrael fasted on Yud Dalad, Tesvav, and Tezayin Nisan. Amar Rebbe Lozer, Amar Rebbe Chanina, Al Tehi Birchas Hedyot Kal Be'enecha. You should not assume that a person who is just a Hedyot, that his bracha is worth nothing. In fact, his bracha is worth a lot. Since David and Daniel were blessed by simple people, and this particular blessing was Mekuyim. The Karbanos of David were accepted, and Daniel was saved from the lion's den. The same thing we say, Al Tehi Kilolas Hedyot Kal Be'enecha. Rabbi Lozer bar Rabbi Chanina says, Kolo Imer Dover B'Shem Imrei, Mevi Geula La'olam. Any person who quotes something in the name of the person who said it brings a Geula to the world. And we see this from Esther, since Esther quoted Mordechai regarding the plot revelation, and Klal Yisrael was saved because of that. If a tzaddik dies, the Gemara says, the whole generation loses. And in the future, Hashem will be a crown on top of every tzaddik. These are people who watch their Yetzer Hara, who judge dinim properly, who debate the laws of Torah, and who get up early and come home late from the batei midrashos. As we say, ze shamashkimin u'ma'arvin b'batei kinesias u'batei midrashos. The Gemara says when Achashverosh brought Esther in, there were three malachim who accompanied her, one to hold her neck, one to make her beautiful, and one to stretch out Achashverosh's wand. And then Achashverosh offered Esther up to half of his malchus. Esther made a party and invited Haman to the party, but set traps so that Achashverosh would get angry at Haman. As she knew, if your enemy is hungry, give him to eat, so as to lower his guard. She also had many other calculations in mind. There's a machlokes how many children Haman had. Rav said he had 30, 10 of them died, 10 of them were hung, and 10 of them became poor. The Rabbanan say he had 90, and Rabbi Bar Abba said he has 208. Daf Tezayin. When Achashverosh couldn't sleep, and they read from the Sefer Divrei Hayamim, from the diary, he realized that he had never rewarded Mordechai for his saving him from the plot of Bigson Vaseresh. And Achashverosh told Haman to take care of Mordechai with all of the rewards. Al tapil davar mikol asher dibarta. When Haman came to pick up Mordechai, Mordechai was teaching the Rabbanan the halachas of kmitza, which we know we do for the menachas. And since all of the barber shops were closed, Haman had to give Mordechai a haircut himself, to prepare him for the ride of Malchus. All in all, in this ordeal, Haman was very disgraced. At one point, Haman's daughter poured excrement from the roof onto Haman, thinking that it was Mordechai. She then, out of her own disgrace, jumped out of the window and killed herself. The Gemara says, Kol ha'aymer davar chachma, afilu me'umus ha'aylam nikra chacham. Anyone who says it is considered a chacham, no matter where they came from. The Gemara says that the enemies knew that if Mordechai came from Yehuda, Binyamin, Ephraim, or Manasseh, they knew that they could not triumph over him. When Haman fell on Esther's bed in the story of the Megillah, it was a malach who pushed him onto the bed. This fueled the anger of Achashverosh even more. And the Gemara says that when Yosef cried on Binyamin's neck in the Torah, he was crying over the fact that the two Batei Mikdashim, which were in Binyamin's Chelek, were destined to be destroyed. And Binyamin cried over the fact that Mishkan Shiloh, which was in Yosef's chelek, would be destroyed. The Gemara says that a lowly creature like a fox, when he's having a mazel, you must bow down to him, just like Yaakov bowed to Yosef when Yosef was the king. The pasuk says, "La'yehudim haisa ayra v'simcha v'sasin v'yikar." Ayra zu tyra. Haman had made a takana that they could not learn tyra, but the takana was lifted. We know that tyra is equal to or, because it says, "Ki ner mitzvah v'tyra or." Simcha is equal to yontif, and joy is equal to mila. And Haman wanted to take the right of mila away from Klal Yisrael also. Kavod, which is glory, is equal to tefillin. And Haman had also wanted to take that right away from Klal Yisrael too. The Gemara says that the names of the 10 sons of Haman and the word aseres should be said in one breath, b'neshima achas, since they all died at the same time. Taisvis asks that this is not ma'akev in the Megillah, and if someone doesn't do this, he still yates in the Megillah anyway. Just like by a Sefer Torah, we need sirtut, we need lines, a Megillah also needs sirtut. According to Rabbeinu Tam, a Sefer Torah does not need sirtut, only mezuzah and Megillah need sirtut. Mordechai was only accepted by most of his brethren, not all of them, since it says, Ki Mordechai HaYehudi, Mishnah LaMelech, V'ratzoi L'rov Echav. The Amr Rabbi Yosef, Gadol Talmud Torah, Mehatzalas Nefashis. Learning Torah is greater than saving souls. V'gadol Talmud Torah, Mibinyan Beis HaMikdash. V'gadol Talmud Torah, Yoyser Mikibud Avoim. How do we know this, that it's bigger than Kibud Avoim? Because Yaakov was away from his parents while he was learning in Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever, and he wasn't punished for it. Daf Yud Zayin. Avraham was 86 years old when Yishmael was born, and he was 100 years old when Yitzchak was born. Yitzchak was 60 when he had Yaakov and Esav, the twins, and Yaakov was 63 when Yishmael died. This means that Yishmael lived 137 years. At that time, when Yaakov was 63 years old, that's when he received the brachas from Yitzchak. Yosef was born when Yaakov was 77 years old. The 14 years that Yaakov was in yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever, he wasn't punished for not being Mekayim the mitzvah of Kibud Avayim. And we learnt in Yeredeya, Simen Resh Mem, Sif Yud Gimel, we paskin that Talmud Torah is greater than Kibud Avayim. This marks the end of the first parak. Now let's begin the second parak, Parak HaKare L'Mafreya. This parak is about how the Megillah is read, versus the last parak, which was primarily about when the Megillah is read. And the Mishnah says, if a person reads the Megillah out of order, not in the correct order, then we say that he's not Yoytze. As the Meiri says, since the purpose of reading of the Megillah is Persumei Nisa, if a person read it backwards, he would be presenting an improper picture of the occurrence. The Baal Shem Tov explains that this halacha refers to a person who reads the Megillah believing that the story it tells occurred only in the past. In other words, he reads it backwards as if it's a retrospective account, and that the miracle of Purim does not endure into the present. Such a person hasn't fulfilled his obligation, but the purpose of reading the Megillah is to learn how a Yid should behave right now, in the present. Similarly, Rabbi Shlomo Yosef Zevin brings down that many Rebbes quote the phrase from the Haggadah on Purim. What is this phrase? B'chol dor v'dor chayev adam liras etz atzmoy ki'ilu hu yatza mimitzrayim. In the same way, they say that a person is obligated to understand that in each and every generation there's a Mordechai and a Haman. In fact, there's always a Haman who's trying to destroy the Yid. And in fact, looking at the fact that in every generation there's a Mordechai and a Haman, that his own life he has to try to relive the lessons of the Purim story. If, however, a person reads the Megillah only retrospectively, sort of as a record of a miracle that belongs only to the past, then he hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah of reading the Megillah. An interesting pshat. Continuing here in the Mishnah, if a person reads the Megillah bal peh, or in Aramaic, then he's not yoytze. If a person paused or dozed off in the middle of the Megillah, but then continued, then he is yoytze. If the Megillah was written on paper versus on parchment, then he isn't yoytze. In summary, a Megillah must be written in Ksav Ashuris. Ksav Ashuris is the special Hebrew Ksav, the way that it's written today on Sifrei Torah. It has to be written on parchment, and it has to be written with dyei, with a special kind of ink. And the Gemara says, just like a Megillah must be read keseder, must be read in order, or you aren't yaitza, the same is true for Hallel, Kriyishma, and Shmoneh Esrei, that a person is not yaitza if he reads it out of order, and he must begin again from the place that he began going out of order. According to Rabbi, Kriyishma can only be read in Lashon HaKodesh, but the Chachamim say that it can be read in any language, since it says Shma, singularly, whatever language you understand. If a person doesn't hear the words of Kriya Shema that he said, then it's a machlekes if he's yaitze. From Rashi, it's mashma that Kriya Satara with a tzibor is a mitzvah daraisa. Taisva says that we see from the Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Pehe, that it's just a takanas Ezra, b'sheni, b'chamishi, u'b'shabbos, and the only daraisa is Parsha Zohar. The Anshe Knesset HaGedolah, the 120 Zekenim, as well as Shimon HaPikuli, instituted the 18 brachas we know as the Shemon Esrei. We begin with Avos, since the Pasuk says, Havu LaHashem b'nei Kelim. The Kelim are equal to Avos, the strong ones. Then we say Gvuras, then Kedusha. Then we say Bina, Atachainen Liadam Das. Then Shuva, Hashivenu Avinu Lusarasecha. Then Slicha, Slachlanu. Then Geula, Rein Avanyenu. And the eighth bracha is Refa'enu. Since Mila is on the eighth day, and every Mila needs a Refuah, we put it in as the eighth bracha of Shemoneh Esrei. The Gemara says that in the sixth year of the Shemitah preceding the Mashiach, there will be tremendous kailas. But in the year of Shvius itself, there will be milchamais, wars, and in the eighth year, Mashiach will come. Continuing with the Shemoneh Esrei, Barech Aleinu, which is Birchas Hashanam, is the ninth bracha. And Kibbutz Golias, in gathering of exiles, is the 10th bracha, Tekah B'Shofar. The 11th bracha is Hashiva Shofteinu, judgment for the Rishayim. They then later came and added Vilam Alshinim, that the Paishim should be taken care of, as we see from Tehillim, Kapitel Ayin He, V'chol Karni Rishayim Agadea Tremamna Karnas Tzadik, when the horns, the might of the Rishayim are cut, the might of the Tzadikim will be uplifted. The next bracha is Alat Tzadikim, which is also a bracha for the Gerim and Zekanim. After this is Yerushalayim Ircha, which says that these tzaddikim will be in peace in Yerushalayim. Then David comes, as Tzemach David, the Malchus of David will be reinstated, and the Beis Hamikdash will be rebuilt. This leads to Shema Koleinu, which leads to renewed Avodah, Ritzeh. After Avodah, we give thanks to Hashem in Maidim, then the Kohanim do the Duchanin, and then Sim Shalom is last, since after the Kohanim bless B'nai Yisrael, Hashem blesses them. After the Zekanim forgot this whole order at one point, Shimon HaPikuli was the one who came and reinstated the correct Seder. This was his contribution. Daf Yud Ches. Beyond these praises mentioned, it is usur to add on to the brachas of Shemoneh Esrei. If one adds on to what the Chachamim already put in it, he will be uprooted from the world. However, if a person has a private request, that is mutter to stick in somewhere in the Shemoneh Esrei, preferably in Shema Kaleinu. The Gemara says that the best medicine is silence. And from the word Zohar, we learned that there is a specific mitzvah d'oraisa to remember what Amalek did to us at least once per year and read it from the Sefer Torah. This, of course, we know is Parsha Zohar, which is read on the Shabbos before Purim. A Sefer Torah can only be written in Ksav Ashuris, in Hebrew, or maybe it can be written in Greek. What's so special about Greek? Because as we've learned, the Pasuk says, Yafto Elohim liyefes, Yishkain biyahale shem. That, the Greek, is the only thing that can be Yishkain biyahale shem. If the Megillah was read in Greek, and the person who hears it understands Greek, then he's Yaitse. The people who don't understand Hebrew are still Yaitse in the Megillah, even though when it's read in Hebrew they don't understand it, since it's Persume Nisa. And since we have a situation of Persume Nisa, these people will come and ask each other about the content that was written in the Megillah. The Gemara says that if a person paused in the middle of the Megillah, it's okay. But if he paused for a long time, then he's not Yaitze. The Gemara says that when paskening, Shmuel always took the side of the minority opinion into the account of his decision, like we see by the case of Shemeras Yavam. If a Sefer left out some words, or some words were erased from a Megillah, if the Balkari put these words in a Balpeh, then everyone is Yaitze. The Gemara says when a person writes a Torah or a Megillah, he cannot write from memory, but he must copy out of another written ksav. Even one letter cannot be written from memory. However, by tefillin and mezuzah, those can be written bal peh, and they do not need sirtut. The halacha l'maishim misinai, the Gemara says, is that tefillin does not need sirtut, but mezuzahs do need sirtut. However, both tefillin and mezuzahs can be written bal peh, because everyone knows them well by heart. Daf Yud Tes, the Mishnah. A person from an unwalled city, who normally reads the Megillah on Yud Dalet, who went to visit a walled city, in other words, a city that normally reads it on Tesvav, or vice versa, if he's going to return it to his native city, then he lanes of a day that he normally does. According to the Rush, the The question is where he's going to be on the morning of the 14th. That's how you decide which day to read on. The Gemara says that Achashverosh took out Kalim from the Beis HaMikdash when he miscalculated the years of Golos. And we say that any person who strongly challenges Avodah Zarah is called a Yehudi. This is just like Mordechai, who didn't want to bow down to Ham. The Gemara says the Megillah is called a Sefer, like a Sefer Torah. And it has a halacha, like a Sefer Torah, that if it is sown with Chutei Pishtan instead of Gidin, then it's Pasul. It's also called an Igeres, so in some ways it is not like a Sefer Torah. And finally we say from the Psukim about the Luchais, we learned that Hashem taught Moshe the Chidushim and all of Torah Shebal Peh that would end up coming and be created by the Chachamim later on in the future. In our next Shir Emiltz Hashem, we will continue with the next Mishnah regarding the halachas of who is kosher to read the Megillah and be Maitzi Acherim.